especially the last few days while we're in Jordan, the internet is not, if it's accessible, it's often not very fast. And so I couldn't read a lot about it, and so I had to kind of catch up today. But there's a picture on the top left there, and this was a protest outside the Cincinnati Zoo. So here these people have come, and they protested that they shot this this gorilla. When you read what these people wanted, you know, they had, and it's always second guessing, you know, you could have used a tranquilizer gun. There were others who were explaining that they do this all the time. When a gorilla has something he's not supposed to have, they bargain with the gorilla, and like they'll take him something and give him this, and he'll give up something else. And so they thought, you know, they should have tried these things first, and it just goes on and on. And so there was a protest, and then they set up inside the zoo. This is at the one kind of in the center is a little memorial to the gorilla, spontaneous thing where people have brought flowers, and then same thing. The top right one is another memorial that's there inside the Cincinnati Zoo. Now, let me say I'm not thrilled that a gorilla got shot, and if people wanted to bring flowers, I think that's fine. And for some of them, it would be truly just sadness that a gorilla got shot, that they had to shoot the gorilla. But there's something else going on in this that when I was reading this is something that's becoming more and more prevalent in our society. And this is what I want you to think about this evening and what I want you to be equipped to answer. Let me see if you can get it. What does this incident reveal about people's worldview? What is going on? Mark? Yes, yeah, and that's well stated. It is the idea that we're all animals and we're all equal. And where do you see this, not just in this, but what other incidences do you observe, or what do you see, where do you see this also taking place? Can you tell me any other things that have happened where you see this kind of thing? I've still got that thing automatically advancing, and it's giving away all my answers. So that's my big problem there. Okay, where else do you see it, Christoph? Yeah, you have Cecil, this lion, and he was shot. And there was, you know, the dentist was he in Minnesota, somewhere up in that area, and he literally had to close his practice and hide for over a month because he had killed this lion. And from everything I read, and again, I don't know all the details, but from what I read, it was a legal hunt. It was not something that he was doing maliciously. He didn't know the lion. The lion didn't introduce himself. The lion was not even on the preserve where he was supposed to be. He was off of it, and so it was all legal, but there's this outrage over this lion. Yeah, that's a good one. Somebody else, Aaron? Animals with what? Yeah, animals with health insurance, right? Oh, they dress them up like shirts. Yeah. 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 We shouldn't be eating other animals. Yeah. All right. Charles? Mm-hmm. $64 billion. Yeah, that's just incredible that we would spend that much. Somebody else had their hand up. Valerie? Yes. Yeah, and this is the thing now, is that people are saying that the parents should be charged for the death of this animal. So I'm still not sure that I got that. And that's the thing that they're pressing right now, is that that the parents should be charged. Now, you know, somebody's argument was, if a parent leaves a child in a hot car, they get charged for that. Christoph? Yeah, and we're going to get to that, that you have, this is a problem in their logic. But this is a problem that's in, you see it in this situation, but it is something that's really, it's across the board. I mentioned something earlier in the year, and you have to be careful how you mention this, because they have these signs out that if they're cold, or if you're cold, they're cold, talking about a dog. And I said, you realize that's not true. If you've taken biology, if you've taken any kind of science, that's not at all true. But it doesn't matter. Because even then when I said that, it's like, oh, you don't care about animals. My dog would go lay in the snow. He has a warm place in the garage, and he goes out and buries himself in the snow and stays there all day. Huskies, they don't care, you know. All right, Christoph. Yeah, but you know, people get—they're totally illogical about this. Even facts don't matter, and that's part of the problem in this case. Out in the Cincinnati Zoo, is this is a specific kind of gorilla, silver-haired. What is it? Silverback. And if you start researching, you know, it'll kill that child. It's an animal. It will. And the people at the zoo knew that. That response team was well aware of what that gorilla would do to that child if they weren't, did not act quickly. And it's fact. You know, it will. And we know that about all wild animals, that you can't trust a wild animal. It's just, anybody who's worked with animals knows that. But people do not grasp the biblical distinction between man and animals. They've gotten to the place where they are acting as though man and animals are the same. And I want to do two things tonight. One, I want to make sure that we have a biblical response to that. Let me read something, and this is from a blog that a guy does on a site called The Blaze. It's a conservative writer. I believe he is a Christian, but I don't know this man, don't know much about him. And he explains the situation, and he says, "On Monday I wrote a column explaining my revolutionary position that human beings are more important than apes. I felt it necessary to write a piece elaborating on this provocative concept after witnessing the national outrage over the gorilla that was killed at the Cincinnati Zoo." And then he goes through and he explains the situation of what happened. And then he says, "Animal rights activists and mourners gathered for a Memorial Day vigil outside the Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden Monday, May 30th, 2016 in Cincinnati for Harambe." Is that how you said it, Val? Harambe? And you know, he talks about how on Memorial Day, when we're supposed to be memorializing soldiers who died, we've elevated this gorilla to that status. And how sad that is, that we have come to that place in our thinking where these two are really equated on that day by their actions. They've forgotten that. He goes on in this to say, "My opinion, as I explained it, is that people are more important than apes. Now, if he would have gone out and said that to that group of people, what would their response have been? Because people really believe. They have really come to the point in our culture, and I say that very broadly, but I should say there's a segment of our society that is a little larger than we think, probably, that really has the idea that animals and people are pretty well on an equal plane, and that there has to be a sacrifice, and sometimes it might be a sacrifice of people. And we have to be very careful that we are going to have a biblical perspective of this. We're going to have a biblical understanding of what God wants us to think in regard to the animals that are around us. I was curious because he said in here, on Monday I wrote a column, and so I went back and looked up the column that he had written on Monday. I was curious what was he saying, and here's the title. Christoph's already touched on this. On May 30th he wrote this: while you were crying over a dead ape, 125,000 babies were just murdered. And his article on Monday, again, he starts by explaining about what happened. After about 10 minutes, they shot and killed the animal. The boy was rushed to the hospital, released that night. And he says, I call it a happy ending because the young boy lived, which is a result that would have seemed very much in question to anyone who happened to witness this situation in real time. Of course, I'm not happy that the ape died. I didn't wake up Saturday morning hoping that a gorilla in Cincinnati would meet this untimely demise. But when a human's life is threatened by an animal, the only thing I care about is saving the human. The moment the gorilla grabs the boy, my first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and hundredth, 1,000,000th, etc. priorities are to save the boy's life. If the boy is saved, then I'm happy. That's all. And he goes on, and this sparked some outrage from people because they really felt that he was insensitive to the feelings of the ape. But he makes a valid point here that we do need to remember as believers, that there is a difference between animal life and human life. And this is something in our culture that we will have to make sure that we think biblically about. So, again, I'm going to borrow brains from some people, and I'm going to actually just steal directly from another article that I read in response to this, and it was from Ken Ham, an Institution of Creation Research, and he was giving the biblical perspective to make sure that we have the right worldview on this. This is not real comprehensive, but these are a couple of basic things that you and I need to make sure that we remember. One, I had you turn to Genesis, so stay there for just a minute, but one is that you and I have to realize that sin has affected the entire creation. He put it this way: the Bible teaches the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And this is in Romans 8, where he's talking about sin. And as he talks about sin in that passage, sin has affected the entire universe. It has affected everything that takes place and all life, including the behavior of gorillas. There are other times that we've talked about this concept as far as the earth itself is concerned. How do we know that man's sin affected the earth? There's some very specific things. Stay there. I'm going to have to hurt you. It's not going to stay there, so just kind of ignore it, and we'll come back to that one in a minute. How do we know that the sin has affected the earth? Okay, weeds, right? It's the pain in childbearing. Yeah, there's the pain. That's part of the curse. Okay, what did God actually say was going to happen to the earth? What is one of the results after the curse? What is something that grows that didn't grow before, apparently? What was it? Thorns. Yeah. Thorns apparently were not part of the creation before the sin of man. And now they are. And all of us, I would assume, have grabbed hold of a branch or something, and we're going to pull it out, a weed even, and you end up with a handful of thorns. Sin affected the entire world. Why do we have hurricanes, tornadoes, and weather that is destructive? It is actually because of the sin of man. It is to remind us that we live in a sin-cursed world. And even the animals are affected by that curse. He's going to come back to that again when he gets to number two. Whew. I don't know what we're going to get to. Number two is not going to deal with it, but he's going to get to it in the next one. I had you turn to Genesis, and this is the verse I wanted you just to read and remind yourself about. Genesis 1, verse 26. This is the creation. And this is where we really are distinctive in our worldview because of what we believe about the beginning of man. In verse 26, it says, "And God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over every creeping, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." Now there are several things in there that are applicable to this. One of the things that's just kind of a rabbit trail we could take, what specifically did he say that helps us when we're talking about this transgender issue? What does he say there? He created them male and female. God was not mistaken when he created someone male or female, and they need to live as God created them, contentedly, as God created them. But in this, he says that he created man in God's image. What does that imply to us? Let me lead you in that. Charles?
Significant difference from the rest of creation.
Yes, and that is exactly what we're looking at. When you come to this, and God said, "Let us make man in our image." This was not something he had been doing up to this point. He had made all of the animals. They were in existence now. And he said, "Okay, now we're going to make a unique creature that is going to be in the image of God." Now, think that through. And this is a theological discussion that has gone on and will continue to go on. What does that mean? And what does it not mean? This will help you in your understanding of some things with evolution. Does that mean that he made him physically different from every animal? Todd? Right. He did. Right. You didn't, but that was good information. Yeah. Okay. Ruth?
I think because he gave us a mind and a heart that he can touch. Because he made us with a mind and a heart.
And that simple answer is about as far as we can go. Well, let me say it's about as far as we can agree on specifically. Let me ask a question I was going to ask. Did God make man different from animals in all respects? Are we alike with any animal? Pastor Stewart? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And also great blue whales.
Well, some of us look like great blue whales, but you know. The DNA of a great blue whale. Really? I didn't know that.
We actually share DNA that's like across almost every part of creation.
Yeah.
Everything that was created,
Yeah. And this is what, for evolutionists who do not believe and will not believe in God, you know, they look at the physical and say, well, we must all be just the same. So when it says the image of God, what is the emphasis on, Ruth? It is on something immaterial. It is on his soul. It's on the heart. It's on his ability to interact with God. Val? Right. That, there you go. Yeah. And this is the difference. And this is what people have somehow missed. In this article that that's from Institute for Creation Research, he touches on that the animal doesn't have a heart. He doesn't have a conscience. He won't kill and then go, oh man, I can't believe I did that. He'll eat him. He doesn't care. And that's what sets man apart. Man has a soul. Man has a conscience. Man has the ability to communicate with the eternal God. He's made you different from animals. He has made every human different from animals. And this guy that wrote this article, this Matt, did I say Walsh? When he wrote this and he said, I don't care if it's one, two, my first, second, third, up to a millionth reason is that man is different from animals. Man is more important than an animal. And you and I can observe that if we'll just take the time to do that. Animals do not have a conscience. You know, we love our dogs and cats. But they don't have, they're acting just as animals. There's not a soul there. And it's just an animal. And while we do love our animals and we get very connected to them, they're very different. Okay, let's go to the third thing, and this is also something that we need to reiterate. Go over to chapter 9, Genesis 9, verse 2. This is after the flood, and this is important because of its timing in Scripture. When verse 1, God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Then in verse 2 he said, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moves upon the earth and upon all the fish of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. So he says here, I've given you these animals to eat. So when somebody says, you're killing this animal and you're eating it, you say, yes, I am. That's a biblical concept. This is what God planned. And so he doesn't expect people to be vegetarians. This was something that was in God's plan. And so he said, and this is after the flood, God reiterates the role of man's dominion over animals. But remember, we're in a fallen world, and this mandate becomes harder because of the effects of sin. And so when he gets to this verse, the effects of sin, animals fear, animals attack, There is a conflict between man and the animals. And generally, they'll run away, but not always. Sometimes they'll attack. Now, here's a fourth thing. Humans were made very different from animals, in that humans were made in the image of God. And this is what we've talked about, that as God created them, they were made specifically in the image of God, and so animals are very different from humans. And here's the thing that we come to, some of this is just a combination of some of the things that I read and was thinking about as I had 8 hours on the plane to mull this over. You know, this young boy is made in the image of God. So you have an animal that is not in God's image, and you have a young boy that is in God's image. And we come to the choice of which one are we going to save? Well, the zoo made the right decision. They had to make that decision. And whether the boy should have been down there or not, that's a whole other thing. And whether they messed up even in letting him down there, it is a different thing. Here's something else, and this is where Ken Ham says this. We cannot impose human emotion or morality on a gorilla. It's not made in the image of God. And the gorilla's decency would not have kept him from harming the boy in the enclosure had the zoo professionals not intervened so quickly. He doesn't have decency. He's an animal. And so he'll do what animals do. I thought this would be a good question, but at the same time, I'm not sure sometimes what the answer would be. Here are these people outside protesting, and let's say that one of those protesters, it was their child and the gorilla. What do they choose at that point? You know, I hope they would say, my child. And again, we're not looking to kill the gorilla, but we do have to make sure that we have a biblical worldview in relation to the animals, that we come to a place where we really do understand that God has made us different and that we have to act and react in that way. Now, how does this affect us in our culture? What is the where the rubber meets the road here? Are we going to go out and just, you know, tell people you're stupid for putting your dog in your will and for spending $50,000 for dialysis and all these different things that people do? How do we react? What do we do with people who have loved their animals? How do we react to them? Todd?
That's not surprising. But their pain is something that we can address. And we can offer them the truth in a way that does not make them angrier. Not always. Sometimes you come to the point where you just have to say the truth.
Right. And we appreciate that. Yes. Yeah, I think you're right. Charles?
Just think about Paul's admonition. And set some of you in order to our frame of mind, remember, you have a love for them. So that's the concept that we need to bring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our responsibility with the animals we've been entrusted with to steward that, but not taking that to an extreme, you know, but making sure we have a full scope of truth and not just pounding somebody with one truth.
Right.
And acknowledging some truth that they have.
Right. You're actually talking about something that I think is important here, and this is the direction that I wanted you to go, and Todd kind of touched on it a little bit. If somebody believes that and you tell them, you know, I really believe that people are more valuable than animals. What does that lead you into telling somebody that's more important than what you just said? Okay, ultimately you're going to get to the gospel. I believe that God created you. Here's a biblical concept that God is your creator. And we're really back to Acts chapter 17. You and I live in a culture where people are idolizing animals. They're worshiping animals. We don't have statues of them yet. We cremate them. So we're pretty close. But we're really trying to get people to realize there's a creator and you're responsible to him. And human life, your life, is vitally important. You are going to spend eternity somewhere. Your animal is not. Oh, what do you mean my animal is not? Well, if you think your animal is going to be in heaven, how do you know you're going to be in heaven? This opens a dialogue. Our objective is not to make them mad. Our objective is to help them to see a biblical worldview that includes an understanding that Jesus Christ saved you, and then we come to that, such were some of you. You used to think like that, now we think differently. So this is just an interesting thing to me, and I do think as Christians, we have to be careful not to be caught up in that, that we are guilty of elevating animals to the place where they're equal with humanity. And certainly, when you get to the place where this Matt Walsh was, where he says, you know, they care so much about this gorilla, but every day there are babies that are aborted, and they're, whatever. This reveals where we are in our culture and in our society. Okay? Any last thoughts on that, Christoph? Yeah, it has revealed in this group of people the worldview that they have. Yeah, definitely. John?
I think just to bring balance, you know, it's important to realize that that people, humans, have greater importance than animals, but not to devalue completely animals.
Because, oh, sure.
Because, you know, we are stewards.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, there's not an excuse to be cruel to animals for no purpose.
Oh, not at all. Yeah, and Natalie mentioned that too. There's a stewardship we have. And Proverbs talks about the man who roasts not that which he takes in hunting. And it's the idea, and occasionally you'll run onto somebody that just will go out and shoot animals and then not use them for meat, just leave them, just the pure pleasure of killing. And he was talking about that. And then he talks about, you feed your ox that plows. That's your responsibility as a steward. We certainly don't want to abuse animals. We just want to be careful that we don't let culture determine how we think about them. Todd? Sure. Yeah.
And, you know, we were the stewards collectively as the United States. We had this animal in a zoo. That opens up its own question about stewardship. Should we have a wild animal captive in the zoo? Is that good stewardship? You know, you weigh all of those things that you come down to. This is what we have. We decided as a society that it's okay to have a zoo. And we did the best we could. But we know that in certain situations, a choice will have to be made. I would not want to be in a place where the people running the zoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be hard. And apparently they had some protocols in place that were very well reasoned and well thought out. They had thought that through. Val? Yes. Yeah. 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 If you've ever watched Jack Hanna, he's definitely an animal, you know, lover. But he said, the Cincinnati Zoo made the right decision in shooting a gorilla after a, and there were several things, a boy fell into the gorilla enclosure. This was, there was absolutely no other decision to make, Hanna told NBC4, adding that the zoo's responsibility is the safety of our visitors, our animals, and our staff. Hanna says the gorilla's behavior was unpredictable and could have turned lethal in a split second. Yeah. So here's a man who knows animals and said, you don't have a choice. Yeah. Becca? Yeah. Yeah. But she said, when Nebuchadnezzar becomes an animal, that's clearly a step down. And if you start looking at that, that would be an interesting illustration of that. Yeah. Good. Okay. All right. We do not have a prayer sheet tonight. I did tell the people who went on the trip, Carol Pollard's here, and she's still awake. So, yeah. We do have one. Oh, good. Okay, so we'll have a prayer sheet. So let's go ahead and pass that out. Susan must have done it. All right. Okay, so let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll pass these out. Lord, we thank you for the time, and we do pray that you'll help us to think biblically and to use opportunities to show people that you are the Creator and that you have made us in a special way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Kevin.